this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line is 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Still come on the program, Matt Philbin in the Media Research Center, my former colleague over a decade ago when I worked there, but he's filling in today. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, he's formerly of the Alabama Policy Institute, but now of 1819 News. Justin Bogey will be with us. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But now it's my pleasure to introduce my next guest. He is our Attorney General. I believe he's called in from Washington. Attorney General Steve Marshall on with us. General, good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Hey, thank you for that. We do appreciate it. Happy New Year to you as well. Before we get into the kind of forward-looking portion of this discussion, obviously our listening audience, what had happened on New Year's Eve with the that shooting near the Moon Pie drop. But, you hear this about Birmingham, and apparently it's a problem here in Mobile. But does it seem like there's an uptick in sort of these gang-related or allegedly gang-related incidents in this state?
No, I think we're definitely hearing that, Jeff. And in fact, I think we've heard it clearly from law enforcement, both in Birmingham and Mobile, of what they're dealing with. It's why the legislature needs to give us an opportunity to expand the toolkit for law enforcement and prosecutors. And that's, let's get a RICO statute in Alabama. It would give us the ability to investigate these groups in a big picture way, whatever they're doing, whether it be property crimes, whether it be violent crime. And it's a chance for us to take out larger numbers of those who are causing these problems. You know, we have pushed for that in the past. And in fact, as we examine our legislative agenda for this upcoming year, one of the things that I'm going to talk an awful lot about is give us opportunities for law enforcement to create a bigger deterrent effect in our communities, and particularly in our larger cities. I think a RICO statute would be giving us an opportunity to do things that we haven't been able to do in the past.
Well, and you know, when I ever talk to kind of law enforcement or ex-law enforcement or former law enforcement, I should say, there's other elements on the streets that we haven't seen. These synthetic drugs tend to, I know, result in a much more violent, more violent crime and just an general anger. I mean, like, all these new variables, is that, do you get the sense that that is maybe playing into some of this?
Yeah, I've not heard that particularly, but one thing you bring up, and I think it's part of the narrative that the left pushes, is that drugs and drug trafficking, drug distribution are not violent crimes. We know they are. And in fact, when we look at the overdose deaths that are occurring across the state, across the nation, those are directly attributable to what's going on with fentanyl and what the cartel is able to do at the border. But also that we know that many of these turf wars or the battles that we hear going on where violence is used to protect those for these local groups, it's because of what's going on relating to the sale of drugs. And so we need to make sure that we're talking about this appropriately in the discussion of what are violent offenses in Alabama. And those include those who engage in drug trafficking and drug distribution.
And that seems like you get to the heart of it there. Let me ask you this. Do we see any of this? We talked about Mobile and Birmingham. Are you getting a sense that there's an uptick in any of this arrest of the state?
Well, I think we've seen the rise in violent crime, and we don't need to do anything but compare our statistics just over the last couple of years. And it's why when we look at this upcoming legislative session, you know, my laser focus is going to be on criminal justice issues, because for too often in the last, at least quadrennium anyway, you know, I'm fighting the ACLU and the SPLC and the programs that they're advancing under the guise of reform when I think it's hurt communities. And so one thing that we need to be doing is very tangible and very transparent discussions about how we create accountability, how it is that we can ensure that those who need to be in prison are in prison, and that we have discussions about ways that we can do criminal justice the right way. And I think there are opportunities for us, particularly, you know, one of those issues is around the idea of correctional incentive time or good time credit. But also, Jeff, I think it's time we start having that discussion about truth in sentencing. You know, this has been an issue that Alabama has punted since the bill prior days when we first created sentencing guidelines. And we can create a whole lot more certainty in what goes on in sentencing Alabama if we also incorporate truth in sentencing as it relates to how long somebody serves.
Well, and getting into that, it's so often to me, when we have these discussions about criminal justice reform, the megaphones, if you will, it's these left-of-center storefronts, and you know who they are. I won't even mention them by name, but they sort of dominate the conversation. And I you know, normally I'm very dismissive of these, like, very, very left-of-center groups, but I think that they're – I think that they're having an impact. I think that there's people in the legislature that listen to these guys and think that we need to head in a different direction and start looking at, like, doing things with sentencing and being a little, you know, I don't want to say softer or more lenient or whatever it may be. And so you hear a lot of that, and how they cut through a lot of that, this seems to be an impediment to getting to where probably you would like to be.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's been very much the norm over the last 4 years, is that seemingly the efforts of law enforcement, the efforts of prosecutors for around community safety have been really diminished in exchange for those groups that seemingly shouldn't have an impact on a very red Alabama, one with a supermajority of Republican legislators, that for whatever reason, those groups have had an impact. And Jeff, we not only see it just in the criminal justice realm, but even in the lawsuits that where we're sued by these left-leaning groups, they use the legislature as a way of overcoming their losses in court. But yet, we have to push very hard to be able to educate those that have been in Montgomery to understand exactly what's going on. And so, to the extent that we've been on the defense over the last several years, we're going to flip that switch. And we're going to be aggressive in not only being able to share facts that are going on in our communities, because the reality of what the left is doing is hurting the very communities they claim to be representing, which I think is the great irony here and doesn't get talked enough about. But we're going to push things that we think that'll move the needle. And sadly, when we've been able to have some success, it's really as a result of tragedy. We saw what took place when the legislature fixed part of the good time law, but it only came as a result of the death of Sergeant Nick Reisner out of Tuscumbia. And now we're only having discussion about a broader effort to deal with good time credit law as a result of the death of Bibb County Deputy Brad Johnson. But those give us opportunities to be able to highlight where the holes are, and we're going to make sure that we're trying to be able to correct those.
Yeah, because even like right after the Nick Reisner incident, you know, you still, and I guess this all kind of happened right around the prison discussion and the special session. But you still had this weird push for criminal justice reform in the other direction. And do you feel like with the, you had a different legislature and no one really knows what to make of the new members coming in. But do you feel like you got a lot of allies when you embark upon trying to get some of these legislative priorities through?
We do. And in fact, one of the things that we've done is to be able to meet individually with legislators around the state talking about these very issues. Because the reality is that many that are coming to Montgomery that have not been there before have really not been confronted with some of the specifics of criminal justice issues. And so it's incumbent upon me as AG to make sure that we're doing the job in being able to share facts, to be able to share policy that we think matter. But at least in the discussions that we've had thus far, we've been very encouraged by what we've heard, and we're going to take those and try to elevate them in a way that we really get into the details of the issues that are impacting Alabama. But then we're going to ask to see action, and I feel like that we have a group coming in that will be prepared to take on some of these questions.
Joined by Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the program for a few more minutes here. General, let's talk about this, I have to admit, I don't really know where this is, but maybe you do. But it occurs to me the one of the big things you guys, prosecutors, are going to need fighting crime is, you know, you got to have a place to put these criminals. Are the efforts to handle the prison situation moving at a pace that you find satisfactory? I mean, if you don't have a place to lock them up or whatever, then you know, you could get convictions, but then what, right? So, like, that seems to be a big component of a lot of this.
Yeah, I do think the construction project to build the three new facilities is extremely important to what it is that we need to do, not only in defending the case that's been asserted by the Department of Justice, but also in making sure that we're doing what we need to do to be able to enhance the safety of those who work in our correctional facilities. And so the quicker these construction projects can take place, the better. Obviously, there was significant delay that's taken place, even going back to Governor Bentley's time, and being able to develop a plan moving forward. We are to the point now where we know what needs to be done, and building these facilities is critically important. The other thing that remains something that we have to work on is staffing of these facilities. To be able to have adequate numbers in our prisons to be able to supervise these inmates is critically important, particularly, Jeff, when we can't lose sight of the fact that 80%+ of those that are there for violent offenses. And so this is not a population that is necessarily easy to manage, number one, but also number two, they're not people that we want on the streets. They're where they need to be, and we need to make sure that we have the facilities and the manpower to be able to do our jobs.
Well, and getting there, right? And you mentioned the staffing, and there's all kinds of problems with the prisons, and I think ultimately, yes, the new prisons will help. In the interim, what do you do there? You clearly have a situation where there's a lot of corruption within the system, and as far as I can tell, and that seems to be just a problem that has plagued Alabama Department of Corrections from here, on. Is there any remedy? Is there anything you can? What does legislature need to do? I mean, what do you think of how to tackle that problem?
Well, let me sort of give you a discrete idea of one thing that we know is tangible that can be done, and that is that we use correctional incentive time for what it's designed to do. And that is for inmates that are in our facilities, that we reward good behavior and that we don't somehow or another take it away as a result of you being bad. And here's my example. Number one, we saw that during the death of Brad Johnson, when we dived into how good time credit was being granted, the shooter was somebody who escaped from prison, but yet is given good time credit to be able to get out sooner. I mean, there's no incentive there for an inmate to act well while they're behind bars if there's no sense that they have to earn that time. And one of the things that we want to be able to do, and we're working very closely with April Weaver, who's a senator from up in Bibb County, is to create a system that says, look, if you assault an inmate, you assault a guard, then we're not going to give you good time credit. You're not going to be eligible for it. That if you're going to commit offenses and cause problems while you're in our facilities, we're not going to reward you for that somehow or another by just with lack of standards and how good time credit is going to be offered. Is that if we can create through legislation changes in that system, that's one opportunity for us to, I think, be able to improve the conditions that are behind bars, because we're going to give those who are inmates there now for the first time a full understanding that you need to behave well if you want to be able to get out sooner. I don't have a problem with incentivizing that behavior, but let's make sure that we're doing it the right way. And I think that's one of the opportunities that we have in the upcoming session to be able to make a difference in the system as a whole.
Finally, General, beyond issues related to the matter of criminal justice, what else would you like? Are there other priorities you would like to see the legislature tackle in this upcoming year?
Well, from the AG side, criminal justice is going to be issue one and issue two of the top three. I mean, that's just going to be where we're going to land. But other than that, I mean, we are the state's lawyer, and we have an opportunity to be able to defend what actions our legislature takes. And I'll take the transgender bill, for example, from the last session. That's a worthy fight for us in Alabama to be able to stand on behalf of children. But the one thing that we can also do when we have a Biden administration that wants to create this genderless society, and let's pass this draft legislation that's going out there about a woman's bill of rights, that makes it clear that we're going to grant certain affirming rights to women, about single space areas so that we can have domestic violence shelters that are appropriate for women, that we're going to have rape crisis centers that are appropriate for women, that we're going to be able to protect the integrity of our sports and our locker rooms, is that when we add to Alabama law being able to establish a principle, it makes our ability to defend the laws that we pass after that even more effective. And so really appreciate, for example, a couple of years ago when we passed the constitutional amendment that established that Alabama was a pro-life state. That's allowed us to be able to not address some of the state constitutional challenge that we've seen post-Dobbs. But this Women's Bill of Rights is just another way for us to be able to add another opportunity to defend the laws our legislature will pass that help us, I think, create a state that's appropriate for the principles that Alabama people believe in.
Jerry, we've got to leave it there. We're up against the break, but you're always kind. You're always welcome on this program, and safe travels to you.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, and I was country.